It's been a difficult week here in Lake Wobegon. Now, Anise and I sit down weeks in advance. Well, we try to sit down weeks in advance and plan out music and worship. It's not something we usually throw together on the fly. And when we sat down and talked about today, and Anise suggested this anthem, and we talked about this service, I had no idea how apt it was going to be for following the week that we've just had. Now, I sent the congregation some letters this week, and if you don't know, if you haven't been reading your emails, if you don't know what's been going on in the UU world, I need to tell you that as of yesterday, the president of the UUA, Reverend Peter Morales, has stepped down. And also on Thursday, he sent that letter out on Thursday, and also on Thursday it came to light that a minister whom I know very well, and many people throughout the UU world, you may not know him here, but if you've ever had anything to do with the Christian Fellowship, you might know him. But another prominent minister within Unitarian Universalist circles was arrested on federal child pornography charges on Thursday. And then there were some other minor crises as well going on in different places around. It's been a tough week. And these things didn't just happen ex nihilo, right? They didn't just come up from nothing. There were things behind it. And if we're going to move on from these things, we have to examine these things. And I had planned this whole service today talking about seeds and growth, and the theme of our month is resurrection. Ooh, that's a scary word for you to use. But, you know, I was going to tackle that with you this month, and I am going to tackle it with you this month, because we're grown-ups, and we can use these words that come with baggage, right, sometimes for some of us, but we can reclaim these words. And I was going to talk to you about all this stuff, and then all this stuff happened, and I thought, oh, wow, I have to totally redo this service. But wow, it still totally fits with the theme of stuff that I want to talk to you about. And it's funny how the world works sometimes. Now, you may have heard that there's a Mexican proverb: they tried to bury us, they didn't know we were seeds. Have you heard this? But I want you to know that that didn't start out as a Mexican proverb. And there's all kinds of unpacking that we can do around this. There was a Greek homosexual poet, Dinos Christianopoulos, who said in the early 1970s, it's one of the shortest poems ever written, "What you didn't do to bury me, but you forgot that I was a seed." Now, I imagine he wrote that in Greek. This is a translation, right? And then in a way that got buried, but like a seed, it grew and took on a life of its own. It got taken over as, oh, well, that's a Mexican proverb. Well, because it became very popular in Mexico and among other people. But I want to name that it was Dinos Christianopoulos who first said that, who first wrote that as a poem, and let him claim that. Seeds are important things, and growth is an important thing. We heard from Wicked this morning, we heard a song that Elphaba sings. Do you know, who here knows anything at all about the musical Wicked? Some of you. So it's the Wizard of Oz from the perspective of the Wicked Witch of the West. Do you know there are at least two sides to every story. And it's a fabulous, fabulous musical, and I'm about to make some of you very envious. I got to see it on Broadway with the original cast. Ooh. And this is a song that Elphaba, the Wicked Witch of the West, sings when she's coming into her own. And through the course of this musical, she changes profoundly, and so does Glinda, who becomes Glinda, right? They're actually the best of friends. They don't start out that way, but they become the best of friends, and they both change profoundly. But in order to do that, we have to shed something. A seed, a sunflower doesn't look like a sunflower seed. This is a pansy. I had to look that up. I am no gardener. I had to read the thing, but this is a pansy, and it's pretty, yeah, it's lovely. These teeny tiny little things here that if you're in the back or possibly even in the front row, you can't even see. These are pansy seeds. Everything in that plant is in one of these seeds. Everything in a sunflower is in a sunflower seed. But in order for the pansy to grow, in order for the sunflower to grow, in order for the oak tree to grow, the seed must be destroyed. The seed has to crack open. It doesn't look like the seed when it grows up. There's nothing of what looks like the seed left. It transforms. Now, what started the kerfuffle in the UUA that led to the Reverend Morales' stepping down was a deeper examination of our hiring practices. A new regional lead was hired for the southern region. And it turned out that there was a woman of color who applied for the position and who was a finalist, but the person who was ultimately hired was a straight, cisgendered white man who does not live in the southern region and who is not planning to move to the southern region, but the woman of color does live in the southern region. And then there was an examination of how many people of color we have in the top levels of management at the UUA. And I will say that Reverend Morales' response, his letter in response, was not pastoral. Now, myself included and all my colleagues, we're human. And we have moments when we are not at our best. Unfortunately, his moment of not being at his best was very public because it went out to the whole UUA. He chose, and I admire him for doing this, he chose to step down as our president with 3 months to go in his term. He sent out a very pastoral letter on Thursday in his resignation saying that he'd become too much of the focus. And for healing, for the UUA to heal and to move forward, he needed to not be the focus anymore. He gave a very sincere, I felt sincere apology, and that therefore he needed to step down. That was his choice. I don't want to get into any of that, but he issued that apology. But there was, that seed had broken open. He had to say, wow, change has to happen here. And change was happening all along for us because people were saying we have to examine our own white supremacy, right? That's what led to this. In the case of my colleague, who was arrested this week, and who has, by the way, confessed, arrest does not automatically mean guilt, but my colleague has confessed. I can't say what was in his mind, what dark places he was visiting. But trust was broken, and trust needs to be rebuilt. And we are all forced, those of us who knew him, to re-examine our connections. How we trust each other, if we still trust each other. Another seed is being broken open. How we handle ourselves professionally. Well, there are implications for us in the churches as well. In order for us to grow, we must break something open. We can't continue on living just as a seed. Nothing will ever happen. Acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations means that we accept people as they are, we meet people where they are, but we encourage each other to spiritual growth. And that means examining ourselves deeply in love, but what changes do we need to make? What patterns of too much acceptance, of too much, how many of you have ever heard, oh, but where you use, so anything goes? It breaks my heart when I hear that. This is a religious community. When we have covenant, and we do have a covenant with each other, and we're going to have a workshop to work on a congregational covenant. You know, the board has a covenant together, and the transition team has a covenant together, and we agree to things together. When we hold each other to that covenant, what would it have been like if my colleague had been held to his covenant, or if anybody had even known? I can't speculate, but what's it like when we're actually held accountable to one another? How are we being in covenant with one another here? What do we have to change to truly grow? What do we need to examine? Now, we can have fun together. Does being grown up mean we never have fun? No. It does not. My father went to a wedding once in a Greek Orthodox church where the priest said, this is a solemn occasion. And he basically told them all, don't expect to enjoy this. It's not going to be fun. And I thought, whoa, if I thought that's what was going to happen when I got married, I would have run away. That's very scary. Being in religious community together doesn't mean that we never have fun, but it does mean that we take some responsibility. It means that we remember that children are listening. It means that we have to be careful of what are we celebrating and teaching the children. It means that we remember that when we speak from this space up here, we speak with the authority of the whole church behind us. Do we ever celebrate violence here? Do we ever celebrate misogyny here? Do we ever celebrate it's all right, anything goes, were you used here? We need to examine that within ourselves. And we need to have space to forgive each other when we slip up, don't we? That's also a part of it. And we need to make room, for these seeds to open up, and grow. For as comfortable as this little seed is, and this space is, and these seeds are tinier, something truly, truly beautiful happens when we let it blossom. So let us hold each other in love. Let us hold each other accountable. Let us plant our seeds and let us give them room to grow. And let us remember that we're all changing. We may be afraid of it a little bit, but we're changing together. We're not doing this alone. Is there someone sitting near you? Turn to someone sitting near you and say, I'll change with you. You don't have to do this alone. I can't wait. I can't wait to see the garden that you become. Namaste.